Hello, and welcome to this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real-World Perspectives. We are coming at you again from sunny San Diego at ADA Scientific Sessions. My name is Diana Isaacs, and I'm with my wonderful co-host, Natalie Bellini, and we have another special episode where we are joined by Julie Heberle from Diatribe. So, Julie, thank you so much for joining us. And can you tell our listeners all about you and your role?
Sure. Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm Julie Heberle. I'm the Senior Director of the Time and Range Coalition, which is an organization that is convened by Diatribe, but is made up of 26 amazing partners. There are industry members, there are nonprofits, there are advocacy experts and clinicians. And we're just so grateful that all of these people are coming together to really promote awareness and adoption of time and range as the daily clinical metric that people hopefully will be using to manage their diabetes.
Awesome. Wow. So can you talk a little bit about time and range as the metric, right? So A1C, get it below 7 for ADA guidelines at 6.5 if you can avoid hypoglycemia doing so. You know, that's kind of where we are in our guidelines. Can you talk about the difference between the two? So let's say as a person with diabetes, my A1C is 6.5%. I've succeeded, right?
You have succeeded, but there's a lot of differences between A1C and time and range because A1C is looking back 3 months and time and range can look at 24 hours, 2 days, 7 days, 90 days. And so it can give you a better idea of the variability of your glucose levels. So you can know if you're actually between the ranges that would help keep you healthy and make you feel better all of the time, which national and international guidelines say are between 70 and 180, but those can be personalized for different populations or for different individuals who might have different target ranges. And if you stay within those lines, most of the time you're going to feel pretty good. We advocate for a flat and narrow in range experience, but you know, if you live with type 1 diabetes, sometimes that's hard. If you're going to eat or if you're going to exercise a lot, there's going to be variability. A1C won't show that, but time and range will.
So I hope people could eat and exercise.
Well, yeah, exactly. We want people to live their best lives, and that includes being real people.
So this sounds like it's something that we use with continuous glucose sensing specifically.
It is. It's most easily ascertained from a continuous glucose monitor or a CGM. All of the CGMs are providing time and range data now, most of them in their apps or, on your device, if you're wearing an AID system, which is really convenient and really helpful for people to know. It provides arrows that let you know if your blood sugars are going up or down. And so it provides a ton of data, and time and range brings that all together and helps people know how much time they're spending in range, below range, or above range. And then if they dive deeper into the data, they can figure out ways to address that.
That's awesome.
Incredible.
Yeah. Can you talk to us a little bit about some of the things Time and Range Coalition has done so far?
Yeah. How about, right?
So we've only been around for 3 years. And in those 3 years, we experienced COVID. But Time and Range is really starting to take hold. And we're really excited to see the progress in the clinical space, in actual doctor's offices, and with patients. So we did some baseline research and saw that a lot of people were familiar with it but weren't using it. But every conference we go to, the uptake is bigger and more and more. And people are talking about it being incorporated into clinical trials and regular practice. And patients are talking about it, which is really exciting. And so we focus in 3 different avenues. We have a regulatory advisory council, which is really working to try to get time and range included in the FDA's approval and in drug labeling, which would be really helpful for clinicians who are trying to make the best decision for their patient population. We also work to educate and raise awareness among healthcare professionals, as well as people who are living with diabetes, because our research showed that 50% of the people who are living with diabetes population were the ones who learned about or they felt like they learned about time and range on their own and then took it to their healthcare providers. And we want to make sure that both groups are educated enough that they can have a really solid, valuable conversation about it when they get together.
Wow.
So you guys were involved in getting a paper published.
A lot of, yeah. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So one of the things that is really exciting about Time and Range is that it's available and there's so much data. And all of these companies are really focusing on it, but they're all focusing on it in different ways. And so when we went to meet with the FDA, they flagged that for us. And so we wanted to create a standard approach for incorporating those CGM metrics into clinical trials so that we could move us closer to making Time and Range an endpoint in trials so that it can be included in the FDA labeling. And so last year, we got together 30 global experts on diabetes at the HTD conference, and we had a consensus meeting. And from that meeting, we developed a set of standardized guidelines that was internationally endorsed by 8 of the biggest organizations in diabetes, and including the American Diabetes Association, and got that published in the Lancet Diabetes and Endocrinology. And so we are now starting to see clinical trials being set up utilizing those standards so that we can have global standardization in CGM metrics in clinical trials so that Time Range can be looked at the same way across the board, not just in the U.S., but the hope is that it'll be looked at, across the world.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah, I think that, when we think about Time and Range versus A1C, in the beginning, I said, I have diabetes. There's my example here. I have an A1C of 6.5. You can have an A1C of 6.5 and have lots of low blood sugars or blood or glucose and still kind of get the A1C that everyone's hoping for, or lots of lows and lots of high glucoses and kind of not really be in the middle very often because it's an average.
Exactly.
And I think that's the big thing for our listeners to understand is this is actionable, right? So when you look at this and say, you're spending a lot of time hypoglycemic, it tends to be after meals, we can make a change to this or that or do something and make a difference, right? So can you talk a little bit about the psychosocial side of Time and Range at all? Do you have any, as a person who's familiar with diabetes?
Yeah. So I've been living with type 1 diabetes for 25 years and just celebrating my anniversary. And last November, my endocrinologist, who I adore, called me and said, your A1C is 6.2. Don't change a thing. And I remember getting that message thinking, a couple of years ago, I would have been so excited to get that message from my doctor. But the day I got it, the moment I got it, I was laying on the floor with a low that just was persisting and I couldn't budge. And I thought, no, something has to change drastically because I'm losing hours of my day. And so I called her back and said, could you please look at my Clarity app? Can you please look at my Time and Range? Can you please look at my AGP report? Something has to change. And we were able to make a small series of changes that all of a sudden eliminated all of those hypo episodes and got me back to doing the things I needed to do, which at the time was preparing for the holidays, which, is a massive undertaking if you have a 10-year-old. And so it was able to give me back this quality of life that the A1C didn't indicate in any way, shape, or form. And so when we work with the people with diabetes portion of our work, that is what we're hearing over and over. Time and Range allows me to spend time with my family. It allows me to enjoy my friends. It allows me to enjoy the exercise because I know what's going on and I know how to keep myself in that range where I feel good, where I can best utilize all of my energy. And so we love hearing that. That's something A1C can't do.
Right. I think that's an incredible. And when we think about the idea of doing this in a study, it's the same thing. Maybe the A1C doesn't change at all, but we've eliminated all hypoglycemia. Maybe the A1C even goes up a little bit, but we've eliminated all hypoglycemia, which is a very limiting factor to people driving cars and functioning at all. I think that people forget about that, right? Because we've been so driven to drive the A1C down and reduce our risk of mitral vascular complications, that is a big part of it.
And it is a really important part, and people recognize that. And actually, I remember when the ADA started the push to really educate people around A1Cs, because that was right around the time I was diagnosed. We now need to do that with Time and Range because, as a society, we keep evolving. And as a community with diabetes, we keep evolving. And there are new tools and there are new assessments and there are new metrics that can really help people who are living with this disease. And it can really help the people who are helping them manage their diabetes too. So, you know, we really encourage both the healthcare professionals and the people who are living with diabetes to look into what they can do to really incorporate this into their management.
So Diatribe and now the Time and Range community, right? Tell us about what's happening next. Talk to a little bit about your digital campaign. What have you guys been doing at ADA? So there's three parts.
Yes.
Right? So ADA, digital campaign, and then what's next?
Yeah.
What are you doing next?
So we are incredibly excited. We have been working on developing a website that will, it's called timeandrange.org, and it is really an expression of the coalition. So all these organizations who are putting effort and energy into sharing information about Time and Range, about promoting it, have all come together under this one health to really share best practices. So when we launch later this year, which will probably be sometime in July, people will be able to go to the website. We have two very different tracks. We have one for people who are living with diabetes. And among that, we have three different journeys for the users. So we have one for people who are brand new to CGMs and who have never used Time and Range to manage their daily diabetes. We have one for people who might have a CGM, may have seen it on their app, but don't really know what to do with it. And then we have one for people who are really trying to maybe lower their range, maybe, you know, tighten it a little bit, or who are really looking to accelerate how they're managing their diabetes. And then on the healthcare side, we have tracks for people, specifically general practitioners, PCPs, to learn how they can incorporate Time and Range into their practices. So we have utilized all of our partnerships and really brought what we feel is the best information and brought it together under one roof so that people don't have to scour the internet, but they would have access to everything all in one place. And so we really hope people are able to utilize this resource. We're going to be updating it every quarter. So there will be lots of new resources as they're developed, as we find them, as they're shared with us. We'll be putting them on the website so that people can just have access to it and keep growing their knowledge base, because that is the beauty of Time and Range. It is about educating yourself about all the intricacies of diabetes and then how to utilize that the best way that you can. And so that's what we're hoping that the website will do. So we're very excited about that. There will be a full campaign coming later this year. And so we hope everybody checks it out. We hope you guys are excited about it. And we'll share with you both your patients and your colleagues. And then as far as ADA goes, you know, Diatribe has been working for over a decade to really take all of the amazing clinical information that is being shared this week and translate it for people who are living with diabetes, their caregivers, people who need it in maybe a less clinical, more digestible bite size. So we published our first newsletter from the conference this morning. We'll be publishing again next week. And just sharing what we think our readers, which you know, are about 4 million a year coming to the website, they can get the information in a way that, you know, they can understand and is applicable to them. And that's what I'm really proud that we're able to do, that Kelly Close started years ago. And I think is really valuable. We hear not just from people who are living with diabetes, but we also hear from a lot of HCPs that they think it's a really helpful website, either for their own practice
Absolutely.
Or for their patients.
I refer
ascension. Well, they also refer on my colleague
right,
all the time, and I every time, right? They are accurate. They're always super up to date,
right?
It's easy to read, really.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, not everybody has time to digest entire, you know, trial results. And so it gives everybody an opportunity to sort of get it at a glance. And then if there's more information they need, they know where to go to get it.
And you can also, as a clinician, read something that is written towards a patient perspective and say, this is a really good way to teach this, isn't this? And then take that back. I've printed it. I use Diatribe a lot in my clinical practice every day. Right?
Right. Oh, yeah. It's so good. So I understand the Time and Range Coalition is meeting here at ADA.
I'm
curious what you guys are all planning to talk about and what we are hoping to accomplish.
Yeah, sure. So we are really lucky. I mean, obviously, we live in a very virtual world. We have quarterly meetings with all of our advisory councils, but ADA gives us the opportunity to have face-to-face time with each other, which, you know, as a patient, as somebody who's been in this field for 15 years, really amazing to see people who, you know, are like the Coke and Pepsi of their diabetes industry coming together and working on the same topic in the same way and being united around it. And so it's It's really exciting to see all those industry partners and all of those organizations coming together and really promoting this issue. And to me, that's really rewarding and it's exciting to see. And it highlights how important time and range is that all of these organizations are coming together. So we will have a meeting at the ADA scientific sessions. We are bringing together all 26 partners. We actually are doing it hybrid. So we will have people joining us from Copenhagen because, you know, they couldn't make it over for the conference, but they want to be part of this meeting. So we'll be giving updates on all the work that's happened since we last met in November as a full coalition. And then we'll be breaking out into our individual groups to be talking about what's next and where there are still gaps in research and in resources and services for people who are living with diabetes and for healthcare providers. So we just really love the opportunity to pull together this brain trust, all of these really great minds who are so dedicated and care and bring different ideas and aspects to the table so that they can really help elevate the work that we're doing collectively and then take it back to their organization, take it back to their colleagues, their networks, and then just keep promoting and advocating for time and range.
Wow, I love it. Awesome.
And you too, we couldn't do it without you too. So thank you guys so much for being part of the coalition and for helping us with our HCP advisory.
We love doing it.
Yeah.
Too. And we both believe in it because it opens the conversation. You know, time and range is not just about fitting into a metric. It's about saying, tell me where your diabetes is challenging for you. Oh, every time I exercise, my blood sugar drops. I can see that. I see it, right? You don't have to tell me, I think it's Tuesday, I had a low, because you can see the data. And then you can, it becomes actionable then, and you can come up with a plan. And sometimes it's like, I will look at data and someone say, Sunday nights, tell me what you do. Oh, Sunday night is beer and pizza and bowling night. It's like, okay, just take a little more insulin, or how about if you walk to the bowling alley? Well, whatever that, you know what I mean? Or maybe we can up your GLP-1, or we can do whatever, and we can manage and really make a difference. As opposed to going, drive it down, or drive it up. You're having too many, whatever. I think it certainly has given us an opportunity to treat and engage in care of our patients with diabetes at a way different level than we ever were.
But I think also it allows us to focus on what is working well. The guy I just have is like a finger stick or an A1C. It's hard to be like, well, how did I get there? But if you can look at one day where maybe the person stayed between the lines or, time to range is higher and just focus on that and be like, well, what, how did you do that day? Why was your stress level? How was your sleep? How was your activity? And focus on kind of replicating the things that are working well versus like focusing on, what's not working as well.
And as a patient, that is really helpful. Like, we don't like to feel like we're failing. And so if we can take the small victories and keep replicating them and grow them to a bigger, better victory, that's good for you guys. It makes you guys feel good. It makes us actually healthier. And it's a win-win all around. And, that's the power of time and range. And we just want more people to have access to it. And hopefully more healthcare providers will continue absorbing it and adopting it so that, it can continue back, folks.
Definitely. That's amazing. Right. I think especially the access is increasing in type 2 diabetes.
Absolutely.
We were so excited. So earlier this year, Medicare
right.
adopted CGM for people who are on insulin. That was such a huge win. And so we hope practices around the country are hearing that news and thinking, who would be the best patient that would make sense for us to subscribe or prescribe a CGM to? And now, following suit, UnitedHealthcare also has adopted it. So we want that domino effect for everybody who needs to have access to a continuous glucose monitor to have access, because it does make a difference.
Stuff. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you so
much
for joining us.
Absolutely. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And thanks to everyone for tuning in to this episode of Diabetes Dialogue.